Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Think of all the sleep hacks you've ever heard. You could spend years trying them all, or you could instantly transform your sleep with Boll & Branch. They make the softest, most breathable bedding you've ever felt, and it's all 20% off. That's their best sale of the entire season. Millions of sleepers love their buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. And you can try all of them for 20% off with promo code Odyssey. So hurry to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com. See site for details.
What are you guys doing here?
What are you doing here? Wait, are you doing a podcast right now?
Welcome to the Rob and Holly Show podcast.
Hi.
Hey, so, how y'all doing?
I'm in Rob's house.
It's well, the backstory here is we both normally work from home, and
we're trying something new today.
We're trying to get together and be more personable. And this is our first time. It's like, it just feels weird being in the same room.
It feels creepy. I gotta be honest with you, Sam. It's weird, but I'm glad you're here. Thank God you're here.
Yeah. It's three of
you. You're making it less awkward. So we appreciate it.
Is that just leftover from the pandemic? Just finally.
I've always been like an only child and an introvert, but like an extrovert. I was very happy at home, like all by myself.
Yeah.
And now we have to talk to people again.
I know. It's good for us, though. We got
to
do it.
We're still just avoiding the drive to the radio station. My studio that I built is 25 miles away. Her house is 50 miles away.
We want to talk about your music, about bridges, about water.
Yeah. Let's do it.
So we were just jamming Water Under the Bridge here in the studio, and it's we were dancing, actually.
Cool.
You got us dancing.
I'm glad.
Like the little piano part at the beginning.
I think that's my favorite part.
Can you tell us kind of the whole backstory behind that one?
Yeah, it's not a big long story behind it. I when the pandemic hit, we were getting ready to tour that summer. And before we really knew how bad it was getting or going to get, I planned a little get-together retreat. Typically nowadays, I write most of my songs on these little 3 and 4 day blocks as opposed to, you know, going in Monday through Friday like I used to write songs. So we went down to Florida, just three of us, and started working on some new music, wrote the song 23 that I put out a little while back, and then the next day wrote Water Under the Bridge. It was a little idea that I had in my phone. I keep a little catalog of ideas and titles and or concepts that could potentially be songs. And that one just came together pretty quickly the second day we were riding down in Florida and sat around for a while. And then last minute, after finishing most of the record, all the songs were not downers, but I needed something a little more up-tempo for summer. And that was a song sitting there that had a little more energy to it. So we rolled with it and recorded it and put it out.
Do you have any titles in your list of ideas that you thought were good at one point, and then you look back now and you're like, I'm never going to do that one?
Definitely, yeah.
Definitely. Can you think of any examples?
Let's see. I usually once I make that realization that this is not, it has zero
get it out
potential
of your brain.
Garbage. Yeah, I swipe it and then I let it. Yeah. Yes, gone.
Garbage. Where do you typically come up with ideas, like when you're ready to like put them down in a phone, you're like, oh, I got, do you have like what were we talking to Tyler Hubbard, and he says he comes up with all his ideas in the shower?
Yeah, a lot of good ideas come from early morning showers.
Yeah, I could see that. Driving for me is one, but I'd also like to dedicate days to, because ideas are so important. Like you go into a write with co-writers or even with yourself and you think, oh, we'll come up with something, but then you sit there for 4 hours and you're like, shoot, I should have spent time coming up with ideas before I got here today, because now we have no ideas.
That's how we do our show, Sam. We totally get it. We should have been prepared for this.
Some people can wing it, but your doorknob's moving back there.
I think that's a
Well, we might as well answer it.
There's a dog and a
child.
You know why? Rob's dog really likes me a lot. Hey,
you guys are supposed to be upstairs.
It's a disaster. We only have 15 minutes with you. Five of them are going to be spread this way. Come on. It's the whole thing. This is why we have to go into the building now, Sam. This is what's happening. We're a disaster.
All right, keep going.
Do you want me to pet the dog?
No. Come on.
All right.
Everybody's got that early morning energy.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Okay, so we're gonna we're focusing.
Okay, we're back.
I did want to get the whole behind the song on Body Like a Back Road. Can we go back to 2017?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell us the whole story? And we asked three questions with it. Where were you? What were you thinking? And what were you drinking when this song happened?
Came about. Wrote,
yes.
Okay. Let me think back. I remember being in Las Vegas when the melody got stuck in my head, probably a year before the song was written, and it like just lived in my head in a way that most melodies have not in the past, and it just was right there for like a year, and I kept thinking, okay, I just need an idea to attach to this melody or some lyrics, and about a year later, I was writing with my buddy Zach Crowell, who's produced a lot of my music. The end of the day, I had this line that I was trying to put into the song that we were writing that day. And then I just mentioned to him before I left, like, what if, do you think there's enough in this line to be an entire song? And he sort of shrugged his shoulders and, you know, gave me kind of a maybe. And I picked up a guitar and started playing those chords and singing that melody and I put that line in the melody, and it just landed on. It felt like a chorus, and we put it down that day. I think the guitar that ended up on the actual track was from me sitting there, and I never play guitar on my own tracks because there are too many great guitar players in town who can do that much better than I can. But for whatever reason, that day, that take that I did to throw down the idea worked, and it had something to it. Sometimes when there's a dumbness to a part, it actually can stand out because everybody else is using the best in the world. And so you can kind of break it just a little bit or dumb it down. And it actually,
same with our show. Yeah. Yep. It's really good.
It'll stand out a little bit, but, so that was the chorus. And then from there, I think it was missing a line or two, but I was went into a co-write with my, buddies, Josh Osborne and Shane McAnally, threw the idea out. A couple more lines fell out. And then, we got together another time or two, worked on lyric ideas, came up with a lot of ideas, but I was trying to land on a specific thing, so I spent more time on it than maybe I should have, but a lot of those lyrics we didn't use could have ended up working. The song fortunately did well, so I'm going to convince myself that all that extra work I put into it was worth it, but finally got the song where I felt like it needed to be as far as the lines, you know, the one-liners and all that throughout the whole song, and then recorded it and put it out, and kind of took off there in a way that I didn't expect.
It's such a great song.
I know we play it now, and I think back like, man, I'm very glad we have this song. We play it usually at the end of the set a lot of times, and it just caps off the show in a way that I couldn't imagine any other song doing that I have or have not written.
I'm just doing song math as you were talking. And I was like, this is like this Body Like a Back Road took about a year and a week for you to like from the beginning to the end. Right. For you to write. Record,
yeah.
Or like so essentially.
Technically, the chorus was in my head for about a year. And then we got together two or three times, and I probably spent a couple late nights just staring at the lyrics, coming up with other lyrical ideas, moving and trying to piece it all together. And it was, you know, it sounds silly to say that because it is when you listen to it, it sounds like, oh, that must have just come off the top of the head because it's simple and lighthearted, and it's not a world-changing song by any means, but just the character in the song and the language, the lingo, needed to be just right for it not to be too silly to even put out. So I had to land it just right, I felt like.
You say that, but I feel like the lyrics are genius lyrics because, like, body like a why haven't anyone thought of that before? So, like, you say it's simple, but I think I'm like, what?
It's pretty complex, well, really.
It has a good old country boy way, right about what you know.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite songs.
Is there Is there a song that you can think of that you finished the fastest? Like that one probably took the longest. How what was the quickest song you ever wrote, recorded, and released?
Yeah, that so Body Like a Back Road was written after Montevallo. I went through about a 2-year period where I know I was overthinking songs. I was spending too much time trying to turn over every rock. Well, what if we did it this way? What if we did it that way? Well, there's a million ways you could do it. And I was trying to, you know, every one of them for a little while there, and realized that that was not productive. I was not getting songs finished. I was, you know, I was throwing songs out that had a lot of potential that, you know, maybe I needed to just follow those gut instincts or those first instincts, and had finished them, you know, the day we were writing them. And so I backed off of that and started just following my gut more and writing songs in a day, following that those creative bursts. And 23, and so the next record, when we wrote 23 and Water Under the Bridge, those were both 2 hours, 2.5 hours. We wrote those both in about 2.5 hours. And I could have stopped us early on and probably not finished because I maybe didn't like a line here or there. But when you get finished, you can go back and edit. You can go back and tweak. And when you get all that creative energy out, because something happens in a room when the idea first comes out, and those all your first instincts are usually your best. And if you don't give the room, yourself or your co-writers, a chance to get those out, and you interrupt with "I don't know about that," or you just kill the energy, then a lot of those ideas that would have otherwise come out just sort of, you know, fizzle out and are never heard. So
yeah,
they say that in, like, you know, when you're like doing improv, you're always supposed to say yes.
Yeah, that's
like,
that's,
you never say no. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Is it kind of the same concept?
Yeah, I think there's a part of your brain where, you know, in terms of creativity, where it's doing math at a deeper level. Its ideas are just better than your conscious brain, and you got to get out of the way and let that part of your brain work, especially when it's inspired.
I think that's the biggest hold up that all of us have with anything that we're doing. It's just our minds stopping us from actually just doing it,
following that intuition. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not that we're like, there's not anything, you know, profound about what we're trying to say, but when you're trying to tell a story and you want it to make sense and you want the lines to come together in a way and that make people feel something, you know what you're doing more than you realize. We all do, if we just could get out of our own way.
Right.
Yeah.
What's the best advice for doing that? Like, just keep a clear, open mind and to go with the flow.
Yeah, I think just not stepping in the way of momentum or trying to just don't kill the vibe, basically. That's essentially, I guess, the best way to put it.
That reminds me of the Kendrick Lamar song.
That's what I thought of when I said that, yeah.
Really?
Don't kill my vibe.
Yes.
That's perfect.
Hey, forgive us if we asked you this before, but we do a last laugh on the show and where we have a stand-up comedian on. Who do you want to pick?
Yeah, let me think. I'm a long-time Dave Chappelle fan, like everybody else. So, but Chappelle, I'll say, or Bill Burr or Chappelle.
Okay.
We can do that.
All right, Sam, we appreciate the time, man. And sorry for the interruptions over here. You got dogs and
I know how it is. It's all good. Talked about the door. I feel like that was, it was our fault.
Didn't want y'all to get snuck up on there. I was just giving y'all a heads up.
I should have locked the door. That was the problem. I didn't lock it.
All right, thanks. And congratulations on the song. And thank you for the music. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. All right. Thanks for having me on. Take care. Thank you. See you guys.
Yeah, bye-bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Rob and Holly Show podcast. Follow us at Rob and Holly Show and listen weeknights on Odyssey Country and the free Odyssey app, AUDACY.